You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off. Well, ladies, I have an issue that I'd like to talk about today. And it's a word that's new to me. And it's FOMO, F-O-M-O, F like in fear or Frank. And to be frank, I think it's kind of a funky word, but FOMO stands for fear of missing out. And as soon as I figured that out, I thought, this is crazy. It's a real thing. Fear of missing out has actually become a condition that people are treated for, medicated for, because it leads to anxiety and nervousness or a fear. Literally, it's a fear of missing out on social activities or happenings or parties or gatherings or things that you've read about, heard about, or seen on social media. I'm just kind of blown away by all of this because I suppose I come from an age group where this has never been a thing. And I liken back to the birthday party that I had in first grade, where we invited only about 4 or 5 other girls from the class. It's just what you did. And we were poor, so we weren't going to invite the entire class. People just didn't do that for the most part. And if we had social media back then, I'm not going to tell you what year that was, but if we had social media back then and pictures from the party were posted, there may have been a bunch of little girls that were bothered or upset because they weren't invited. Would that lead to FOMO? Well, jump ahead 50 some years. And the answer is yes, that is what is happening. If people get on their phones or on the internet and they get on Facebook and Instagram and all these places and they see photos of happenings, and it could be something as small as a friends gathering of maybe a dozen people to a major concert that you can't afford to go to and you can't go to, or your schedule is so busy that you can't do this or that or this, it brings about anxiety for people in many ways. The fact that they can't attend or they can't be part of, or they're not informed, they don't have the knowledge of this event from either experience or hearing about it, or they simply they can't afford to do things like this and never can do things like this. So they feel left out in that realm as well. So I don't know what to think about this. I think I'm just still a little bit floored that it's a real thing. And I want to say, how did we get to this point? But sadly, I believe it's because of our phones and the internet and the way that society's changed, and it's never going back.
Oh, I sure agree with you there. It is because of social media for sure. Otherwise, we wouldn't know about all these things. But you know how I see FOMO? I see FOMO in people that are texting while they're driving. They can't wait. They have to answer right now. Everybody has to see their text messages right now, and they have to answer right now. And everybody seems to be inclined to answer everything on Twitter. Everybody's got something to say, so they can't read something and not have a part in it. You know, they just have to do it right now. And then there's the people in every single restaurant you ever go into that sit there on their phones the whole time because they can't miss something that might happen. Or people who sleep with their phone because somebody might text them in the middle of the night. And those are things that I see as that fear of missing out type of thing. And I actually think that they added this word to the dictionary now. But now that they, in addition to what you said, Becky, they've added new categories to this, where we have FOMO stocks and FOMO crypto, where people have a fear of missing out, like on the crypto market or on you know, certain things that they see in social media about a stock, that everybody's got to do everything right now. So that's how I see FOMO. And you know what it leads to is, you're exactly right, is a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, because everybody wants everything right now.
It's so true. I speak to people every day who are struggling, for instance, with time management, right? They're looking for a solution to, you know, that what they say is, I'm struggling to execute what's important. And the truth is, they're struggling because they're spending all their time on their phone or their computer, right? I mean, it's crazy. Now, I know that some people will say that I am overprotective, but our daughter, she's now 16, but when we first gave her a phone, we did not allow her to have any social media. So she wasn't allowed to have TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook, any of that. And it's interesting because I did that because I had no control over what information she was seeing or who could have access to her. When we were all growing up, you know, it was the next door neighbors, right? The kids in your neighborhood that you hung out with. And, you know, I remember I'd get on the phone to call my friend, and within 2 minutes, you know, my dad be like, get off the phone. Right. Do you remember that? And, later
Dr.
on,
they used to pick up the extension line, right? And say, yeah, get off the phone.
Exactly. So, but now, I mean, there's no break. There is no place you can go, where you have, respite, where your mind can rest. It's always being inundated with, with pictures, with film, with whatever. We think I'm just going to relax and watch some TikTok, right? Because it's mindless, but it's addictive. I mean, I thought, okay, what is this TikTok? So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to check it out. Right. So I get it. And I wasted all of a sudden, I looked up and I was sitting there for an hour, a whole hour. And I can't tell you I actually said to myself, oh, okay, just one more. Oh, just, that wasn't good. One more. Oh, one more, because that one wasn't good. And then I think, what did I just do? And I don't even have an addictive personality. You know, some people have addictive personalities, and I have just a la-la personality, but I'm lucky I brush my teeth and wash my face every day. That's the only thing I do every day.
But, or you don't brush your face and wash your teeth.
Right. Exactly. But
I want to tell you, so there's a guy who was on, he's not, I assume he's on social media, but he is a blogger, and he wrote about, you know, so we have the FOMO, the fear of missing out. He wrote about the joy of missing out. And that's just like fantastic to me, because there are simple joys that we miss every day by being on all this social media, right? So the way that he discovered it was when he had a baby. Well, he didn't, his wife did, had a baby, and he discovered, you know, the simple joys of, you know, being with his baby son and, you know, giving him a bath and putting him to bed and rocking him in a chair and those simple things, rather than, you know, looking at social media. So I love that saying, the joy of missing out, because we are already overwhelmed and our kids are overwhelmed, and the younger generation is overwhelmed. So I do think that the fear of missing out has some real implications for, you know, both our mental and physical health.
You know, according to Brooke Strzok, research director of the Decision Lab in Montreal, quote, "We fear loss much more than we get excited by equivalent gains." Did you catch that? That's disturbing. And he also adds, "We worry about feeling bad in the future, anticipated regret, and we fear falling behind others." And then to tie this in to make it even worse, this article mentions how FOMO is used by scammers. And you mentioned it, Linda, you both, I think, have mentioned it, that I don't know if it's a particular age group, probably, and perhaps the elderly, but you'll get a phone call saying, you know, like with Bitcoin or something, or get in on this promo and you need to do it now. And you can earn so much money. You can make this kind of money, but you need to do it now. If you don't do it right now, or within at least the next 15 minutes, da da da. It just feeds that, the fear of missing out. And especially if you tie in financial gain, that's just like frosting, you know, that's like frosting on the offer. And it's really, I don't see any way of stopping it.
I pretty much stopped posting. The only thing I stopped using Instagram first off, and I'm still on Facebook, but I don't really post anything anymore. And part of it too is, let's say I do have a party and I don't invite, you know, everybody, right? And there's all these pictures and so much fun with Judy, right? Blah, 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 right?
That's your new reality show. So much fun with Judy.
So much fun with Judy. But it's I just thought, okay, it just does nothing but hurt people. And then I would read, you know, other people's posts, and it looked like they were, I don't know, they had such a more perfect life than I did, right? And they were spouting off all this incredible wisdom, right? Do you ever hear that?
Judy, yeah. Nobody has a more perfect life than you do, so don't worry about that.
Right. Everybody takes their turn. That's what I believe. I believe everybody takes their turn with sadness and they take their turn with happiness. So, and it ebbs and flows, but I just feel like I don't have to post every single little thing that I do, that my, you know, children do. When I have, I see people posting all of the accomplishments of their children, right? And all the perfectness and how perfect their kids are. And I think, gosh, that's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, these kids have so much pressure anyway. Mm-hmm. And then when their parents, you know, are posting all of their accomplishments or not, or let's say you have more than one kid, right? And one has some accomplishments and the other one doesn't. I mean, what does that say? I just think that social media damages your self-esteem, whether you're 12 or you're 87. I don't think it boosts you at all.
So are we as humans, certainly we must realize this, right?
It seems like we should.
Then I think that brings back in the addictive property, that it's so addictive, and it has instilled such a craving to know and to hear about and to have that, if not experience, at least the knowledge and information. And it's almost like a food addiction. You can't stop. And it is truly creating a generation of kids that are being medicated for anxiety. And the only way that it can be curbed or helped is if the parents understand this, and even parents with adult children, because at our age, the adult kids are in their 20s and they can be having these issues. 20s and 30s can be having these issues, and it doesn't really have to be. It can change.
Well, I do think that it can change. I just see so many different ways that this is, though. And Judy, I want to get back to your TikTok thing, but I'm going to do that in the next segment. But, you know, there are also in-person situations where maybe people are with a group of people that are taking some sort of a pill, and they don't want to miss out. They don't want to be the odd guy out. So they take it. And, you know, this goes to the number of fentanyl deaths that we're having in the country. Over 100,000 people, you know, of our youth, 18 and up, you know, have died in the last year from fentanyl overdoses. And I think that has to do with this FOMO as well, that people don't want to miss out being part of the party. And they don't sometimes even think about what they're doing. But the majority of what I see with this fear of missing out, it is with social media. And it is, you know, even with my own family, when we go to a restaurant, I have to say, put your phone away while we're eating, because you're sitting here on the phone and I'm right in front of you, just looking at you. We're not even having a conversation. That's not how I want to have dinner. And I see that in so many places. And I see that the people, like I said, texting while driving, they can't miss that call right now. They can't miss that text. And it's so dangerous. I actually have somebody that I know that was killed by a truck driver who was texting, and he rear-ended her, and she died. You know, I mean, there's a lot of implications to this besides the anxiety, besides, you know, people feeling like they have to do something right now. Everything in our society is right now, isn't it? It's all instantaneous. And you know what? Some decisions are not best made instantaneously. And some things are not best replied to instantaneously without some thought put into it. So I do think that it's causing, you know, a lot of stress in society. And that's directly because of social media. And we are so bombarded every day, all day, by social media, the news, texts, phones, everything. We are so bombarded. It's mind-boggling how our mind can hold this much.
Listen to the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off, and I'd like to introduce our host today. Today we have Becky Kohlmeinen. She is a voice talent, and she is the voice of Ladies of Liberty. You'll hear her in the beginning and the end of our show and in the commercial areas. So welcome, Becky. And we have Judy Moran, and Judy is the director of client relations at the 12-week year. And She is also a mom. And Judy, you are totally immersed right now in a wedding with one of your daughters. So thanks for taking the time out to be here, because I know how all consuming that can be. And I'm Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner and also the host, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, a forensic criminologist of Talking While Married, right here on America Out Loud every weeknight at 8 p.m. So please join us there. Ladies, who's addicted to TikTok?
Not me. Nuh-uh.
Nobody. Good for you. Neither am I. However,
well, I'm trying not to be. I'm trying not to be. I'm very aware of it. And I'm very aware of it.
Well, you know, I have stayed away from TikTok because in the very beginning when it came out, I heard that it was Chinese owned and it was dangerous and they could steal your information. So I really have stayed away from it. However, I have family members who use it constantly, and mostly for the videos, mostly for the dog videos. I know Becky, you and I were talking about those. They're absolutely amazingly great. But I wanted to know if TikTok is really dangerous. So I kind of looked up some information, and it doesn't out and out say that it's dangerous, but it says that there are things that you kind of need to know about TikTok, that it is censored in some places, even within mainland China. If your cell provider is a certain cell phone provider, you can't use the app. What does that tell you? If they don't even let you use it in China, and China really is part of the people that own it, and it's been removed from Hong Kong, and the U.S. was going to ban TikTok when President Trump was in office, but it didn't get banned. India has banned TikTok. So why are all these people banning TikTok, ladies?
This is very, very interesting. It's interesting that India has banned TikTok, because the largest, source of internet scams is based in India. So the majority of your internet scams come from India, which is really interesting that country, which is so IT savvy, right? Would ban TikTok. So
well, here's what they said. Here's their words when they banned it. They said it was prejudicial to sovereignty and integrity of India, defense of India, security of the state, and public order. Wow.
But Biden, President Biden, actually decided to reverse all of President Trump's policies regarding TikTok. And what's really interesting is that TikTok is one of the largest social media platforms on the web now. Okay. It recently dethroned Google as the internet's most visited web domain. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what's very interesting though, is that while the Chinese government has recently, as of February 2022, retained a stake in, the Chinese government retained a stake in TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, So it says, while this partial ownership will not necessarily affect the TikTok app or user experience, it is in one part of a more significant push for greater state control over the country's growing technology sector. But what's interesting, they call it, a lot of the tech magazines are calling it China's Trojan horse. So when you think about, I have TikTok, and I have to be honest with you, I did not get TikTok in the beginning because I knew that China had a stake in it. The government did. And then President Trump banned it, and there was a big hubbub about it. I don't know if you remember that. And I thought that it became, that China didn't have a stake in it. anymore. And that's why I got it. And I thought, okay, you know, I can just see what's going on, because I wouldn't let my children have it. And then of course my daughter turned, you know, was 19 and could do whatever the heck she wanted. And I kept telling her, don't get TikTok. So then I got it. And I have to tell you that I sit there, I mean, and I can sit there and tell you, well, I only watch recipes. Okay. But then I find myself liking whatever, you know, whatever political affiliation, or then I get lost in, I don't know, some story or whatever. And I think, what did I just do with my 30 minutes? What did I just do? Nothing, absolutely nothing. And my question is, what are they learning about me?
That's the question.
That is, that I was just reading in the article here, Judy, where it states that according to researcher Gordon G. Chang, have documented in the ways in which the Chinese government uses technology to spy on Canadian citizens, which leads you to believe they're doing the same thing here in the United States.
Of course.
And to think, I mean, already it's kind of a new age way of thinking, to think that all of your medical history has been uploaded from your doctor's office, and you could go anywhere in the world, and if you need medical care, let's say you're visiting in, let's go to Australia again, mm-hmm. and you need medical care, they can just pull it up, and there you, everything you are from birth to now is there, which is good. Mm-hmm. On one hand, but what is it that they're pulling from this? And it, what is really, you know, it continues to be scary after you watch those TikTok, and what are they called? Episodes? TikTok?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't either.
They do collect a lot of data from you.
And so what are they doing with that data?
Right. And if I like something, you know, and I follow somebody who's political, or let's even say, so, you know, my personal, what if, and I'm just throwing this out there, but what if I liked somebody who, you know, really believes in our right to bear arms. Okay. Let's just say, oh, I really liked them, followed him, agreed with him, whatever. And then, you know, you get down to, will the government find out who has guns and who doesn't, right? Well, if China comes to invade us, are they going to look at our TikTok accounts?
Oh, I'm sure that they get a lot of information.
Who the enemies are going to be, right? And who, I don't know. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but then I watched what happened in Canada with the whole, all the truckers and how they seized their bank accounts.
Yep.
And I mean, that's unconstitutional don't even get me started.
The big things about TikTok that is an issue is that anyone on TikTok can contact anyone else. So, I mean, that just leaves a huge amount of room for child predators. And that's the biggest issue that I have with it, including that China captures a lot of your information. They capture your SMS. They capture what you're looking at, all the content you're looking at, how long you're on there. So, you know, they can direct things to you, but they're also gaining information. I don't know that much information out there is bothersome to me, but the fact that anybody can contact your kids is really bothersome to me. And it's not just your kids, but you know, you have older people that go on to look at the videos, and they can be contacted for any type of fraud by anybody else in the world. So, you know, I mean, I think it's something to be concerned about. And I don't know. I think that we were talking about FOMO and, you know, fear of missing out. And this is a thing that people don't want to miss the next episode of that chapter on TikTok, or they don't want to miss the next dance, or they don't want to miss the next whatever it is on TikTok. And like you said, Judy, you know, time just slips away because you get involved in it. Mm-hmm.
It is addictive. You know, my parents twice now in probably the last 8 years have been contacted by a stranger via telephone call. And when they pick up the phone, on the other end, they hear a young man's voice that says, "Graham, oh, I'm so glad I caught you." And my mom will say, "Jeff," you know, meaning one of her grandsons, and she recognized the voice. And this young man has said, "You know, Graham, I kind of got myself into trouble and I need somebody to send me, I just need like $500. If you can send me $500, because I did this or this or this, and the police need this money right now. Otherwise I have to stay here overnight." And then thankfully my mom detected something in the voice and then said, "Jeff, this doesn't sound like you." And he said, "You know, I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I'm kind of scared, so I might not quite sound like myself." And my mom just said, "Jeff, what's your dad's name?" And then click on the other end of the phone.
God, your mom was smart enough.
Yes, thankfully. But that happens all of the time. How would somebody know to call that phone number and know the grandson's name? I mean, you know that your information is out there. And it's very scary what can happen. I mean, you do read in the news about scammers really draining people's bank accounts.
Oh, definitely.
Changing their lives forever. It's frightening. And it's how do we get the message across to the younger generation, younger than ours, that this is a real thing? Because I know I've mentioned it to my daughter and she just poo-poos it. Like, "Oh no, nobody's doing that. You're just reading things in that old person's magazine."
You know what people need to do, and especially parents, when you have a TikTok profile, when you have your profile there, there's three little dots up in the upper right corner. And those little dots, if you click on those, it takes you to the privacy and settings. And parents need to make sure that they have those set properly for their kids so that they can set the child's account to private instead of public. Okay. And anybody may want to do that. They don't have to have it be public, but they need to know to check for that option there and change their settings so that, you know, other people can't be contacting them. And, you know, then I think parents should be talking to their kids about how to use not just that app, but any of the apps that are out there so that they don't get in trouble. And it's bad enough that,
what's interesting is that you can find out exactly what TikTok knows about you. So if you go to your profile on the app and tap, open your settings, go to privacy, then personalize and data, and then download your TikTok data. You can download it and find out everything that they've collected about you.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. And they collect a lot. They collect a lot.
So I take it that probably can't be changed because they have that information now.
Well, I think that you can. There are things like they actually track your location where you are. Yeah. Now you can turn that off if you want. In your settings, in your privacy settings, you can turn that off, and I would for sure.
Yeah,
but it's interesting.
It's and frightening. Truly,
I can't for myself. I can't take the time to sit and look at TikTok. But my husband will watch those dog videos and he laughs out loud at them.
And they're so funny.
And they're so cute. They have a pit and a red-nosed pit who's a nanny dog. And she's just the nicest, sweetest dog. And they have a place called, and I assume it's on TikTok. I assume that that's what it is. Pity Nation. And the dogs are just so cute. It makes me want another one, but
oh, no.
I just am not willing to give my time to any social media enough to have a problem myself. But again, you know, you see that some people live on these sites and they waste so much of their day where I think, go out and experience life, do something physical, active, do something, take a walk to, you know, go play tennis, go do whatever you can, ride a bike, instead of sitting on there and watching these things. I just think that they're absolutely destructive to our brain, you know. And one more reason to not like the TikTok things is those challenges that they put on there. So some of them have been really funny. If you remember, like the ice bucket challenge and the mannequin challenge, but some of them have been really dangerous and people do them. And they had a challenge called the penny challenge. And it was involved in putting a penny between a wall socket and a plug. And it has started house fires. And then they had the skull breaker challenge, which involved, you remember this, that was all over the news, intentionally tripping people. And people have been really, really injured by some of these. And then they had another one called the Devious Licks Challenge, which told students to steal property or vandalize school property. And students have been arrested and forced to pay or fix the property. So, I mean, some of the things on TikTok are downright dangerous, and some are fun and some are ridiculous. And there's a lot that's false on there. There are a lot of videos that are just, you know, set up kind of like mini movies. So I don't know. I just think that people can spend their time in better ways.
Agreed.
How the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Okay, ladies, we recently got all dressed up with our ball gowns and our fancy wear and jewels, and we bejeweled, and we recently watched the Academy Awards. And though I didn't win any awards for what I was wearing or the dips that I made, okay, I didn't have any dips. I was alone, actually, and I sort of kind of watched, but something happened that changed the I want to say that changed the face, but that's almost a pun, changed the face of the Academy Awards, because someone got slapped during the Academy Awards. And it was a shocker. Chris Rock was giving his monologue and his comedic stand-up monologue. And he said something askew about someone, and Will Smith, it was actually about Will Smith's wife, and Will Smith left his seat, walked up on stage, and open-handedly slapped Chris Rock across the face, and then walked back to his seat as if he was just getting up to walk to the bathroom or something, and sat back down and exchanged a little verbal tete-a-tete with him that was bleeped out because it was filled with expletives. But I tell you, there's so much about that that really bothered me, so much. It's hard to condense it down to one thing, but besides the fact that I think it was a very inappropriate action on the part of Will Smith, I also think there's a deeper problem there. I think this man could be struggling with a number of things. It takes but a tiny straw to break a camel's back sometimes. And that sort of action typically comes from someone who has snapped, someone who is feeling overwhelmed by something or some things. And all it takes is the one wrong look from someone or the wrong word, and they go off. And that was his moment. And it was unfortunate that it was on a public platform. Lots of people saw it. I do think that Chris Rock handled himself professionally, in that he didn't fight back and he just stood on the stage. The other issue that I have with this is that on social media, and we've been talking about social media a lot, but on social media, unfortunately, in my opinion, there are certain people that are making this into a race thing. And that really bothers me, because I don't see this as a race issue at all. I see this just as two men that had an altercation, a very inconvenient time in front of the public on television, international television or national television in any way. And I don't see this as a race issue. And yet in several places, from what I'm seeing on social media, the Black community is taking this as that and running with it. And
What do you mean? I'm confused. How is this a race issue? I mean, I'm just confused. I didn't hear how people are painting it. What are they saying? How is it?
One of the Facebook posts that I read stated that if Chris Rock had been white, what would Will Smith have done?
You mean, would he not have hit him? You mean?
Would he not have hit him? Or would he have hit him? And then what would have happened?
And then would the host, who was white, press charges? I don't know. That, you know, this is taking it too far for me, when the people have to stretch that far to see through their race goggles and the prism of racism all the time. I just think that those people just need to be ignored, because this had nothing to do with race. But
right.
But you know, my question is, was Chris Rock's joke really, really in bad taste? I mean, I feel that it was in bad taste, considering that Will Smith's wife says that she has alopecia. And if that's the case, then maybe that joke was inappropriate, and they ought to rethink they're always criticizing each other in their jokes, and some are funny, but sometimes I think they're way over the top, and that may have been way over the top. It doesn't excuse Will Smith at all for what he did, but the whole thing was bothersome.
Well, in the way that it, like wildfire, is out on social media. I mean, I got a text from my daughter who was watching the show and said, "Did you see what happened?" And I said, "No, because I wasn't watching." You know, which leads me to the other point, Linda and Judy, is that we Americans are very obsessed with celebrity. And we look at the Academy Awards as an event. It's over the years, it's become an event. People have little faux red carpet parties and an opportunity to make a big deal out of something. Mm-hmm. And it's, we all understand that fame is fleeting and beauty isn't timeless. And which was very evident when you look at certain people that were on the stage that are now elders in the Hollywood elite. And oh my word, I looked at some of those people that walked up on stage and they could barely walk to begin with. And I just think, wow, I remember what they were like 40 years ago. And now they're bent over. They look like they could use a cane. They look like they could be wearing Depends. They're old. They can probably not remember their lines, and they have to wear so much makeup just to keep their face up. It's why, you know, and social media just perpetuates so much. All of it. And it's not reality.
Right. But I want to say when I look at the whole incident between Will Smith and Chris Rock, I'm completely appalled that it doesn't really matter what Chris Rock said. I mean, everybody knows, and apparently Will is a friend of his, right? Apparently they're even friends, right? You understand that Chris Rock says terrible things as a comedian. He's known for it, right? I mean, in back when I was a kid, it was, you know, Don Rickles, right?
That's right.
But I surely don't remember anybody hitting Don Rickles. Nobody went up on stage and physically assaulted Don.
Especially at an event like that. Oh my gosh.
Right. It's just so appalling, in my opinion, because so here we have a man, a mature adult man, okay, who is considered one of the pillars of the Hollywood society, all right? He's lauded as a family man, a man of character, okay? Will Smith, right?
Yeah. I beg to differ on that.
I think that in our culture, I think our culture holds him up as a, you know, as an icon. Okay. And here he is. So what is he saying to anybody who was watching the show? Okay. Any punk who's watching the show. Okay. He is supposed to be a leader, right? Right. Yes. He really is. And what he's teaching people is, hey, if you don't agree with what somebody is saying, you can just go on up and smack them. You can assault them. Yeah. If you don't like what they're saying about you or your family, your wife or your children, just go on up and slap them. And I get that, wham, 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 he cried and he apologized, all right? But for some reason, Will Smith's filter was gone. For some reason, in that moment, he felt completely emboldened to allow his instinct. Now, we've all wanted to reach out and slap somebody, okay? But we don't. Do we? I mean, we know we shouldn't. You don't just slap somebody across the face. And my question is, why did he feel entitled to do that? And then what is he saying to everybody else out there? Now, every other comedian who insults people, right, is now vulnerable to people going up on stage and slapping them because they don't like what they're saying.
Well, and not just that, Judy, but think about kids, you know, right? Incredible kids.
Did it. And then he got an award.
I know. Right? And then they gave him an award. So that's
him an award.
And by the way, that's what he did is a crime. And Chris Rock chose to not press charges, but it is a crime. So everybody needs to know that you can't just do that because you can be arrested and you can be charged and you can go to jail and, or you can pay a fine and you can get put on probation. So, you know, we need to keep our hands off of each other is for sure. Becky, I want to address something you said about the Academy Awards being this huge thing. The amount of people watching the Academy Awards has dropped a huge amount. I mean, like, not half, but like down to, you know, maybe 25% or less of what it was a few years ago. So people really are uninterested. And, you know, they're uninterested for exactly those reasons that you're just talking about, that, you know, the political thing. And I want to bring up, you know, when the three actresses started the show, and they decided they had a little talk there, and they, who was it? It was Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, and Regina Hall. They closed their monologue with a message for the state of Florida, which said, for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night, gay, 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 gay. And, you know, that's in regards to the Don't Say Gay bill, which was just recently signed as well. And that is why I will not watch the Academy Awards, because I don't want to hear their political take on everything. If they produce a movie, if they want to be an actor, great. That's all that I want from you. I don't need all of your political rhetoric on the Academy Awards. And I would have thought with the decline in their viewing audience that they would have realized this and taken action to not do it, but no, they did it again. So, you know, that's why I didn't watch it. That's why I haven't watched it for years. And that's why I will never watch it again. So, you know, they're killing their own show and their own awards show by doing these things.
They use them as a platform. They always have.
Well, how'd that work out for them?
Yeah, I didn't know about the decline in viewership, but I'm not sad. I'm not sad about that. I think it's a healthier thing for a society when we're not as tuned in literally to celebrity like that, because it just distorts our view of reality to the nth degree. And people worship famous people.
So they
you know,
do.
I want to bring up this, Judy, I want to get your response on this too, about this Don't Say Gay bill, which was signed. So the Academy Awards and the Don't Say Gay bill happened to kind of coincide, you know, in a way, in that they had the awards, and then the very next day that this bill was signed. So for them to kind of belittle Florida for it, when actually this bill is something that just directs schools, it forbids instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. I mean, how can you argue with that? It is the place of the parents for a child that young to talk about any sex or orientation type conversations. Those are to be had in the home and not in the schools. We're talking young kids here, kindergarten through third grade, and people are coming unglued about this. I'm horrified that we're in that place in the United States that people can't see that this is a conversation that parents have the right to have with their children in respect to their values, their ethics, their religion, and not for schools to be indoctrinating our kids with.
I agree. I think that, you know, we are responsible for raising our children, not the government. The government is not responsible for raising our children. And back to the whole, so the Oscars has been losing ratings, okay? Nobody's watching the Oscars anymore because it's a political push is what it is. That's all it is. A dressed up political push. And when I look at the opening monologue, and Wanda Sykes said, well, we're going to have a great night tonight. And for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night. Okay. She just lost 22 million viewers. Okay. She just lost the population of Florida. So she addressed the whole state of Florida, right?
Oh.
I mean, they're so stupid. I mean, they're, like you said, they're killing their own show. They're killing their own show. I don't know. But I agree with you, Linda. I about the legislation that was passed in Florida, I believe that parents should raise their own children. And I said this in the past, and then I just want to throw this out there. I also believe that transgender people should not compete in sports. I really do.
Amen.
That's my take on it. I think that those poor girls who had to compete against that man and they lost scholarships and that they've worked their whole life for. And he just waltzes in there and takes it all away. And I really don't understand what is fair about that. Why is that fair? I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's not fair. And, you know, I say God bless Governor DeSantis for getting this done. And I want to teach my own kids by my own values. And that's what school should teach them, the subjects that, you know, that they're there to learn, not indoctrinate them.
I agree.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.